So this morning, I'd like to explore a particular aspect of practice that I find really useful, not only in my sitting practice, but also in my daily life practice. And that is beginning to recognize the experience of mindfulness itself, recognizing when we are aware, when we are mindful. And the way I'd like to explore this is to kind of turn around what we normally think of as wandering mind. You know, when the mind wanders, it loses track of, it loses touch with the present moment, and we often have a relationship with that, that we feel it's a problem or that we need to get rid of it or figure out how to not have that happen. But actually what the wandering mind is and the mind doesn't go anywhere. Basically, in that moment, in the moments of the mind wandering, mindfulness has disappeared. And in the moments when mindfulness returns from wandering, mindfulness has reappeared. And so we can explore essentially the edges of wandering mind and begin to learn something about mindfulness itself through being curious about the wandering mind itself and the moments when we kind of wake up. We can learn something about mindfulness and being curious about where the mind leaves awareness. We can also learn something about mindfulness there. And so I'd like to explore the phenomenon of mindfulness and getting familiar with it through looking at how the mind wanders. So essentially taking an interest in the comings and goings of mindfulness. Instead of calling it wandering mind, we can think about it as mindfulness coming and going. And investigating this as a phenomenon, I mean, I think often we do identify somehow with being able to do mindfulness. It's like, I sit down to meditate. I am the one who sits down to meditate, and I am attempting to stay present. And when the mind wanders, I take it personally. I should be able to not have the mind wander. So actually, this exploration begins to point to some really important facts about our mind. You know, when the mind wanders, we sit down to meditate. If I'm sitting down to meditate and the mind wanders, who did that wandering? Did I choose to consciously put down mindfulness and let the mind wander? No. It happened. It was something that happened because of conditioning, because of habituated tendencies in our mind, and so it's not self. Essentially, it's not me or I or mine that the mind wanders, and likewise, when the mindfulness returns, who did that? Did you decide I'm going to stop wandering right now and become mindful again? Mindfulness reappears, it re-arises. Again, not self. It re-arises because of conditions, because of that we have practiced mindfulness, that there is the tendency for us to wake up at certain times. And so we begin to, there's a lot that we can learn by exploring this phenomenon of the coming and goings of mindfulness. We start to get familiar with the out of control nature of our own minds, that we can't just sit down and say, consciousness, you're going to do this. Mind, you're going to do this right now. We have a little bit of ability to do that for short periods of time, perhaps, where we can turn our attention to something. But there are forces in our minds that are largely we are unaware of, and that create the mind that seems to be out of control. So we learn that the mind is out of control much of the time, and this is a piece of understanding the not-self nature of our minds. We also begin to learn how our minds get caught on things, what particular areas of experience we tend to get stuck on as we make this exploration of where does the mind get lost? Where does it get stuck? And we can, in this, begin to have a sense of curiosity around this mind that seems out of control, that wanders, curiosity rather than judgment. For myself, this practice of exploring the comings and goings of mindfulness, thinking of it in that way, as opposed to having an attitude about it as being the mind is wandering, this is a problem, in terms of looking at the mindfulness returning, if I'm exploring and interested in that mindfulness has come back in the moment when I recognize that the mind has wandered, it's like flip it around. Instead of thinking, oh, the mind has been lost, well, mindfulness is back. Here it is. No matter how many times your mind wanders during a sitting, you have that many opportunities to notice the mindfulness when it comes back. So, that's a little bit of a framing. What is mindfulness? This is actually a really profound question. The more I practice, the more mysterious mindfulness seems to me. And I don't know that I have a really good definition for it, but let's have a working definition for it in some few words that may evoke something of what mindfulness is. In a basic sense, we can perhaps have a working definition for mindfulness that it is being aware of what's happening while it's happening. That we know what's happening while it's happening. There is often a feeling or a sense of presence. Awareness is another word that can evoke a sense of what mindfulness is. But these terms are kind of just, they're just alternative terms in a way. You know, it's not really a definition. It's more of a different word that might evoke something that points to what we're calling mindfulness. So being present, being aware, being with experience. I think that this mindfulness is related to what we could call the reflective capacity of our human minds, that we can know that we know. We can be aware that we know. We can. We can be aware, but not know that we are aware, which many of us experience regularly throughout the day when we're lost in thought while we're walking down the street or driving or riding a bicycle, and yet some part of our minds is aware of our surroundings well enough to not run into trees or run people over or walk in front of a car. So there's a kind of awareness that is there all the time, a kind of the functioning of our minds. We know what's happening around us, even if we are not consciously aware of it. And so this is the piece of mindfulness, is that we become consciously aware of what's happening to us. There's a big difference between these two. So this mindfulness is related to this reflective capacity of mind, the ability that we have as human beings to know that we know. But it's not just as simple as that in terms of our Buddhist practice, in terms of our meditative practice, because we are using mindfulness in a particular way here. We are exploring the possibility of right mindfulness, of mindfulness that leads us in the direction to begin to understand what is it that creates struggle, creates stress, creates suffering in our experience, and what is it that moves us in the direction of freedom. And so there's a particular purpose or aim of mindfulness in our meditative practice. And it's not simply to be aware of what's happening while it's happening. It's to be aware and to understand what is it that's leading me to be caught, to be stuck, and what is it that's leading me towards letting go of the ways the mind contracts, the way the heart grips onto things. So the that particular understanding can be framed in terms of the Buddha's teaching on the Four Noble Truths. Understand suffering. Be mindful and have that mindfulness curious about what is suffering. Not to understand it intellectually, but to understand the experience when suffering is happening. So much of the time, actually, when suffering is happening, our minds are already leaping ahead to how can I get out of this? So we're not really knowing the experience of suffering directly in the present moment. And this is what I think the Buddha was pointing to in the First Noble Truth, to understand suffering. And then the Second Noble Truth, that it is possible to let go of that suffering, to release the craving that the craving, the greed, the aversion that leads us in the direction of suffering. So this understanding of right mindfulness can be framed in terms of the Four Noble Truths. But perhaps a simpler way to frame it practically is that we can begin in our mindfulness practice, that the way we explore being aware of experience when we are mindful is to be aware of experience as an experience. Now that might sound like nothing, but there's a big difference between, for instance, being aware of anger as, oh, this is the experience of anger. This is the human experience of anger. And there's a vast difference between that and, oh, this is anger, and I need to do something about it. So that there's kind of a, you know, so in the knowing that one is angry, the recognition, oh, yes, anger is happening while it's happening. If you go up to somebody on the street who's angry and say, do you know that you're angry? They'll probably look at you like you're crazy. Yeah, of course I know I'm angry. But they don't know it in this way of, oh, this is what it's like to be a human being that's feeling anger. They know it as a personal thing, as something that needs to be fixed, changed, need to do something about this. And so this perspective of being curious about our experience as human experience, this brings the perspective of essentially of the impersonal nature of our experience right into how we are paying attention. And so this is the kind of mindfulness we are cultivating. An awareness, a presence that is curious about what's arising in the present moment as human experience. That form of mindfulness contains right view, contains the curiosity that will begin to reveal what is leading us to suffering and what is leading us to freedom. And so that's a little about mindfulness and what we are exploring, what we are looking at, the comings and goings of. There's another piece that that I want to point to here, and that is the difference between a factor in the mind, the factor of attention, and the experience of mindfulness. Often when we learn how to meditate, especially at the beginning, we are taught, we are trained to put our attention on some experience, like the breath. Direct the attention to the breath and notice it. And then when the mind wanders, we recognize that the mind has wandered because we notice we're no longer paying attention to the breath. And so we come back to the breath. And that begins to train the mind in being present, to train the mind in learning what it means to be aware of something while it's happening. We're aware of the breath while it's coming in. We're aware of the breath while it's going out. We know we're breathing in while we're breathing in. This is one of the instructions in the Buddha's teachings on mindfulness of breathing. When breathing in, know that you're breathing in. It's a very basic form of mindfulness practice. And yet in that practice, sometimes we can get confused or get the sense that being able to put my attention on something is the same as mindfulness. So we confuse or conflate this factor of attention, of being able to pick something to pay attention to, with the factor of mindfulness. These are different things. The factor of attention is the part of the mind that can pick something out of our world to land on. So we can choose to be aware of the breath, for instance. The factor of mindfulness is this capacity that we have to know what's happening while it's happening. Now, attention has different forms too. Attention can be directed, as I talked about there, so we can choose something to pay attention to, like the breath. And attention can also be undirected. We notice this happens a lot when we're meditating, actually. This is one of the main ways the mind wanders, in fact. It's like we are putting our attention on some experience like the breath. We are paying attention to that, noticing it. And then our attention gets drawn to some other experience. The sound of a train, the sound of a car. We didn't choose to have our attention go there. We didn't necessarily consciously say, oh, I'm going to let go of paying attention to the breath and pay attention to the train. We can do that. But often what happens is that we have our intention to pay attention to the breath, and some other part of our mind picks up on that experience, and the attention gets directed to something else. And we didn't choose to do that. And so attention is kind of, it's both amenable to our conscious control. We can choose to pick something to pay attention to. But it is also, if we are not consciously choosing something to pay attention to, our minds will pick something for us. It's kind of like the breath in a way. You know, we can either consciously control to breathe, consciously choose to breathe in and breathe out, or we can let go and the breath will breathe itself. The attention, the factor of attention, is kind of like that. Either we can pick something consciously, but if we're not picking something consciously, our mind will pick something based on its proclivities. It'll pick something based on its conditioning, based on its habits. And so we have this factor of awareness, of attention, and this aspect of mindfulness, of awareness, and we can start to see that these are not the same. So the example I gave earlier of walking down the street or driving a car or riding a bicycle, when you're lost in thought. So in that experience, there's something that's paying attention to the world. There is attention happening, even though you're not mindful. So we can see that attention and mindfulness are not the same thing. And so perhaps we can explore the possibility of being mindful, of understanding what mindfulness is, when we are not choosing what to pay attention to. This becomes more of a receptive practice of mindfulness. Instead of being in the driver's seat in our meditation practice, instead of saying, this is what I'm going to pay attention to, we can step back and receive. Like we can get into the passenger seat. What is showing up into mindfulness? What is attention wanting to pay attention to? What are we noticing? So this is kind of more of a receptive practice. Instead of directing the attention, we can explore being mindful while receiving. So this exploration of the mindfulness that is not directed, this is a piece of beginning to recognize mindfulness itself. So when we practice mindfulness, there's different ways that mindfulness appears, I would say, different ways that it can happen. Two basic ways I'll talk about right now. One is a prompted mindfulness. That is, when we are already mindful, we can remind ourselves, pay attention, stay aware. So there's a way that we can just keep checking in. And we might do this by directing the attention to something, such as stay with the breath. Or we might do it by just being curious, am I aware? Am I aware right now? Yes, I say, okay, is there a sense of awareness? Am I aware right now? We can do it in that way as well, checking in, am I aware? Kind of prompting, reminding ourselves, yes, aware, already aware, aware still, yep, aware still. That's a way of prompting mindfulness. And that's a lot of what we do in meditation practice. When we are already mindful, we remind ourselves to continue being mindful. The other way that mindfulness happens, and thank goodness for this, is what we can call unprompted mindfulness. And without this, we wouldn't be able to practice at all, because mindfulness has to arise from somewhere. And, you know, so if we were dependent on mindfulness always already being present in order to practice mindfulness, and the only way to get mindfulness present is to do it, probably it's not going to happen very much. But mindfulness arises by itself. This is an the factor of mindfulness is this right mindfulness that I'm talking about is related to a very natural function in our minds that does simply, that we have the capacity as human beings to know that we know. And this happens to us as human beings all the time. So the moment of mindfulness returning, the moments when we as human beings, mindfulness comes back or we know that we know, in that moment, we can begin to be curious about that experience. So this re-arising of mindfulness, this kind of natural function of mind that happens as for us as human beings, we can begin to turn that towards right mindfulness, to begin to be curious about that re-arising of knowing that we know and being curious about, well, what's here already? What's the experience that's here already? What's the human experience that's being experienced as that mindfulness returns? So this reappearing of mindfulness, this arising of awareness that happens as a human being, it happens way more than we might think. This very simple function of mind, human function of mind, we couldn't live without it. This capacity to know that we know, to know where we are, what we're doing. Now, we can live without right mindfulness. We can get by without right mindfulness. But that kind of reflective capacity of mind, it's part of our makeup as human beings. And so it's very natural that it happens all the time. And so part of what can be interesting here is to be curious about that. And this is what I pointed to when I said looking at the moment when mindfulness returns. In our sitting practice, we can be curious about this moment. You know, it may happen 30, 40 times during a sitting. And be curious about that moment of mindfulness returning. Again, you know, you were not responsible for that moment. It just happened. So there's a number of beautiful things about this moment. First of all, you didn't have to do it. It didn't take any effort whatsoever. It provides a pointer to the way mindfulness can be there without our having to work so hard. So there's mindfulness. It returns. We also can begin to get familiar in that moment with a little bit of the feeling of what the difference is between being mindful and not being mindful. Because in that moment when mindfulness returns, there's a contrast. A little bit of a contrast between what it was like to not be mindful and what it's like now that mindfulness is back. It kind of almost feels like the lights come on. We become aware of what is happening in the moment. And so rather than being, often what happens in that moment when mindfulness returns, we become aware and we become aware of something. We become aware of something, you know, on the ground, or, you know, we're walking in our kitchen and we see something on the floor, and we become aware, and our immediate response is to do something about what we've become aware of. And so we often move right to the object of the experience that we've become aware of, instead of recognizing or being curious about the awareness itself there, or the mindfulness itself. So in that moment of mindfulness returning, especially in sitting practice, because very often in sitting practice, as mindfulness returns, our first thought is, oh, I've been lost. Come back to the breath. Or come back. Well, where, if you are practicing with the breath, there might be something to come back to. But if you're practicing being curious about mindfulness itself, there's nothing to come back to. You're already back. So curiosity in that moment, aware again. Can we shift our relationship to that moment to, instead of being, I've been wandering, to aware again? What is awareness like? And in that moment, awareness is already aware of something. So what's that? There's nothing to come back to in that. If you're practicing receptive awareness, you're already back. That awareness is already knowing something. It's already receiving something. You have woken up into awareness, and you're already aware of a sound, or you're already aware of a thought or a feeling or a body sensation. What is that in that moment? Already aware. Recognizing the awareness itself as a curiosity there. This moment of mindfulness returning is one of the prime moments for beginning to get familiar with the experience of mindfulness, with the experience of what it means to be aware. In daily life, this practice of noticing when mindfulness returns, well, I'll say one more thing about in the sitting practice. For myself, as I started doing this kind of practice in the sitting practice, to be curious, at one point I was exploring, what's the earliest I can know that mindfulness has returned? And so I got really curious about that reappearing of mindfulness. And it just cut right through the judgment around the wandering mind. It's like, it didn't matter how many times my mind wandered, because every time was an opportunity to get familiar with that experience of mindfulness returning and the effortlessness of it. That the sense of, wow, here's mindfulness, and it's just happening. This is unprompted mindfulness. I'm not having to work to make this one happen. So it was a delight to practice in this way, instead of having that sense of heaviness when mindfulness returns. It's like, oh, here it is. It's effortless. Yay. In daily life, I would say this is my main practice right now. This is my main practice, is noticing when mindfulness returns. And again, it's part of the reason why this is my main practice. Well, there's a couple reasons here, actually. I mean, there's the effortlessness of it. And again, you know, this beginning to recognize the return of mindfulness. We get familiar with the experience of mindfulness itself there as we recognize, oh, mindfulness is back. And the benefit of that is because this actually happens way more than we think. it's like our minds begin to get sensitized to that experience of the return of mindfulness. And we begin to notice that it's happening way more than we think. And we don't have to work as hard to recognize it because we are more familiar with it. So turning our attention to this experience of the return of mindfulness, it pays dividends because we start noticing other moments of mindfulness. It's like sometimes, you know, mindfulness feels like it can feel like it's just starting to return, but then it gets submerged again because we kind of get stuck on what we've become aware of. And the kind of the attunement to the reappearance of mindfulness, it helps us to notice those little bubbles of mindfulness starting to come up. And so we get to see way more of them effortlessly, because we don't have to do work to make that one happen, to make those happen. And in daily life, so you can practice that in sitting, and in daily life you can also be curious about this moment of mindfulness returning. And again, it happens way more than you might think. Reaching for a glass, walking across the street, in a moment while driving down the freeway, suddenly you know that you're aware. In that moment, again, just recognize it, notice it. In daily life, this practice also will start to pay dividends because we begin to get familiar again with what it feels like for mindfulness to rise in the midst of activity, in the midst of what we're doing. This also begins to point to how mindfulness can infuse activity. We sometimes might think that to be mindful while we're doing something, especially something complicated, like, you know, relatively complicated in terms of our minds, like texting or writing an email or something, while we're doing something like that, that's taking so much of our mental activity that we couldn't be mindful of it. We might not be able to practice the doing, the prompting of mindfulness in that activity, because that takes mental cycles to do that. But this re-arising of mindfulness, it can re-arise in the midst of any activity. And even while we are typing an email, we can become aware that we are doing that, and we can know something about what we're thinking and how we're feeling while we're doing that. And so we begin to see the power of mindfulness, especially the power of mindfulness that has a kind of a momentum of its own in a way. Not one that we're trying to kind of keep going. So not the prompted mindfulness, but the unprompted mindfulness has a power to penetrate areas of our experience that we might not think was possible. We might not think we could be mindful of. And so this is another reason why this is so powerful, because the power of mindfulness that is simply happening or that happens on its own, that mindfulness where we're not actively doing it, can see, it's like it's got the overview of what's going on in the mind. Without disturbing it. It's just like a perfect reflection of what's going on in the mind. Now, we do have to practice the prompted mindfulness usually quite a lot to get to the place where there's enough momentum that we can ride that wave of unprompted mindfulness for a period of time. And yet this practicing around recognizing mindfulness itself begins to get us familiar with those waves. Again, sometimes we get these little gifts of a burst of mindfulness in our day, a wave of mindfulness. We're you know, just in our kitchen doing something ordinary, and suddenly we're riding a wave of mindfulness, and we see something very clearly in our minds about how our mind picks up on a thought and wants to do something with it, wants to get angry at somebody. We get these little gifts. And if we have practiced recognizing that arising of mindfulness or opening to kind of curiosity, it's actually more about intention, this practice, and curiosity. Can I notice when mindfulness returns? It's more about intention and curiosity there than a doing, because we can't really do it. It's returning, and we can notice that it's returning. And so perhaps you can set the intention to be curious about the returning of mindfulness. And then you may be available for these little gifts of effortless mindfulness through your day. And also in daily life, as we practice this, recognizing the returning of mindfulness, it gets easier in our daily lives. Again, we get familiar with what it's like for mindfulness to return in the midst of all kinds of activities. And so we begin to recognize it more. So I had a whole other section to the talk, but I clearly don't have time to do that in the last 6 minutes. So I'll open it to comments and questions now, if there's any comments or questions. Yeah, over here.
I'm thinking about two experiences which I thought of as containing mindfulness in and of themselves. First, walking in a forest where I'm forest bathing, you know, as the Japanese would say, where I'm deeply aware of the beauty of my surroundings and I'm quieted and very moved. The other, where I'm in a state of what's called flow by some people, where I'm deeply engaged in a creative process, maybe writing a song. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in each of these, is that the presence of mindfulness, or do I need to disengage from the immediate experience to observe it, to be mindful? And then I want to throw in one more part. And if so, what are the advantages?
So I would say there can be times when we're in a flow where we are more in a concentrated state than in a mindful state. And there's nothing wrong with that. That, you know, in fact, sometimes if we're in that kind of a flow, so there's some mindfulness happening there, but it's not so much that we're aware of the mindfulness in that kind of a state. It's more of a concentration. I would not try to separate there, but there may be moments in that flow where the sense of the awareness of it becomes clear. Maybe. If you try to do that, you will interrupt the flow. So that's not so helpful. I mean, I just envision, like, you know, Kevin Durant. You know, he's out there. He's getting ready to do his pull-up three-pointer, and it's like, oh, can I be aware of this? You know, no. So it's, you know, there's that flow, and, you know, there's a kind of a being in the moment. So I wouldn't necessarily call that mindfulness. And it's possible to have mindfulness in that, but it's probably not possible to do that. So you don't have to make a problem about that or a doing about that. Just be curious, because at times I've been in a flow, in that kind of a flow. And every now and then there's just this little bit of a sense of, in the flow, and then I'm back in the flow. And it's not a doing of that. Again, it's just a re-arising of the natural capacity to know that we know that happens. And another thing you're pointing to that I think is an interesting piece around mindfulness is, so I'm talking about mindfulness, the experience of mindfulness, as if it's one thing. You know, we get familiar with that experience. And in my own exploration, there's different ways it feels at different times. So one way, and there's different factors that come into making it feel in different ways at different times. So two kind of differences that I described to one of my teachers at one point was, I said, you know, there are times when I'm really clearly mindful, And it feels like there's a distance between the mindfulness and what I'm knowing. It's like there's a little bit of a separation there. It's kind of nice. I mean, it feels kind of removed or a little distant from that thing. And that's especially nice when there's something challenging to be aware of. It's like, and then there's other times when I feel like I'm right, I'm present, I'm aware, there's no reactivity, and it feels like the mindfulness is right in the middle of it. It's like being with the experience instead of looking at it. And it's very clear that I know I'm with it. So there is the awareness of the mindfulness there, but it's like right embedded in it. You might think of a difference. You know, it's like if you're standing on a train platform, you can be watching the train go by and knowing the train's going by. Or you might be on the train and knowing that you're on the train. So, you know, there's this difference between these, there's different feeling there. There's a different experience of it. And when I reported these two to my teacher, he said, they're two perspectives on the same experience. He said, in one, the mind is interested in, there's a difference between the mind that knows and what is known. So the mind is recognizing that they're not the same thing, that there's the awareness and there's something that it is aware of. So it knows that there's a difference. He said, in the second experience, the mind is interested in the fact that those two are happening at the same time. So it's kind of more, it's like the perspective at which the mind was looking. So, you know, there's no need to have the sense of when I'm mindful, it means I'm separated from experience or I'm stepped back from experience. That can actually be, I think, one of the first ways we really clearly recognize mindfulness is that sense of separation, especially around something challenging. It's like we can see, wow, I can be aware of this. I know this difficult thing is happening, and yet I actually feel okay, you know, because the attention is kind of recognizing the awareness itself. And that can be an early recognition, an early way to begin to recognize the mindfulness. And we begin to think that's what it should feel like. And so we may then miss that being right in the midst of experience can also be the experience of mindfulness. And there's also other experience. I mean, so there can be a sense of the way the attention is working can also influence how it feels to be mindful. Sometimes it can feel like, you know, sometimes it feels like the attention is flowing from one thing to the next. You know, it just feels like a river almost. It just feels like a flow. And sometimes it feels like the attention is jumping from one thing to the next. And again, neither one is right. It's just different ways that our mindfulness can and our attention can be connecting with experience. So thank you for the question, and it's time to stop. So thank you for your attention.